Nexus Church is all about cultivating an authentic Christian community where old and young alike journey with Jesus and are transformed by the gospel. May we be challenged and inspired by the power of His Word.
Hey, we're going to jump into the Word of God. We're in a new book series, 1 John chapter 1. So let's start from verse 1. This is the Apostle John writing. He wrote the Gospels, he wrote the letters, and he also wrote Revelation. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that what we have seen and heard, so that you also must have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare. Another translation would say proclaim to you. That word proclaim means to herald important news. If there was an important news that impacted the community, the cities, the towns, the king's herald would run forth and proclaim the king's news ahead. And so in modern age, it would be like you're watching a TV show and they would interrupt current broadcasting in order to show something that is of importance, of significance, that may well relate to you, that you need to take notice of. And so Paul is using this term proclaim, a forerunner proclaiming this is important news, and this is what the important news is. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Paul uses a literary device that says you've got a positive, but then you double down with a negative. So God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all, which means that you can't just have a description of light, you know, because light creates shadows. There is no shadow, there is no darkness, there is no spot, no blemish. Nothing in Christ is of darkness at all. He is light. And there is no matter about it. Verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. So Paul is holding up a standard. I said this all the time in the first. I'm so used when it comes to letters. To use the word Paul, so forgive me for that. John is writing that the standard is that you do not sin. But there is a word there that he uses. But if you do, and praise God, that encompasses us all, we have an advocate. The goal is do not sin. But if we do, we have an advocate. Jesus would use that same word, parakletos, when he's writing to his disciples or speaking to his disciples in that last discourse, that beautiful scriptures from John 14 to 17. He says, do not be worried, for I am going away, but I will send an advocate who will come and stand beside you, who will walk with you, who will lead and guide you towards truth, who will advocate for your right standing to the Father, justified through the Son and through His sacrifice on the cross. You have an advocate. So we, even though we do sin, it shouldn't spiral us into guilt and shame. We need to not look at the sin, but look to the cross and look to Jesus, who is our advocate, who pleads for us for right standing and makes us right standing with Jesus, with the Lord our God. And so then it goes on in verse 2. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Remember, John wrote this letter, but he also wrote John, the Gospel of John, when he said in those incredible verses in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save it." And here we have John using those words. It's not just for us, but it's for the whole entire world. For God so loved the world. So here we find ourselves celebrating communion. That was beautiful thoughts, Pastor Phil. First name Pastor, second name Phil. We have these beautiful this time of worship where we're celebrating how God has opened the table for us not to walk in darkness, but into his wonderful light. And this is where we find ourselves as a church. And I would just love us, just for a moment of time, just to think of that time in our lives where God called us from darkness into his glorious light. Yeah, I was a struggling 17-year-old at Marucci High School. Lost my way, fighting a whole bunch of difficulties, depression, all that sort of stuff. Trying to find my way as a young man, I got invited to a youth group. And this guy spoke on John chapter 15 and said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And for the very first time, it's like my heart leapt with joy. My dark soul experienced the light of Christ. And from that point, I've never been the same. I've been able to walk in darkness. Are there shadows? Absolutely. But the Lord has called me to walk in his light, freedom, joy, peace, wholeness. And he's called us to all do that and to support, comfort, encourage one another in order to keep walking in the light. Because it's pretty easy to turn back into darkness. You know, Phil mentioned some stories, what's happening around the church. And I've got a great privilege of being out in Sandgate, and I feel like I'm on the front line to see some of humanity's most disadvantaged mess, but also right on the front line of seeing hope invade a dark situation. And so I just want to share some stories as to how I've seen people experiencing this road of being walking in darkness into light. There's this one person we've been walking with for about 3 years, and he lives in Tent City out there at Sandgate. And so we've been walking with him for a while. And I don't just call him a stranger. He's turned into a friend, and that friend has now turned into a brother. And so we always hang out, and we go get dinner, and we go to different events and stuff like that together, and it's really cool. But one of the saddest parts of that time together, even though we experienced joy and encouragement with each other, is when I drop him home, he gets out of my car, and in a darkened park, he just walks, and then he just walks into darkness to his tent that he's been in for 3 years. And I sit there and I'm going back to my home and my beautiful family, and I'm overwhelmed with hopelessness. But there's something's happened in the last 6 months. We're still doing that. He's still walking back to his tent. But what's happening is that he's, even though he's walking into darkness, he's not walking in darkness, because he's starting to experience the hope of Christ. We're talking about God's plan for his life, that Jesus is alive and active and interested, and he's not his full stop, his narrative doesn't end with his current circumstances. He's more than that, and he's starting to see that there is a hope for him, and you know, all that sort of, and there's a big difference between walking into darkness and walking in darkness. He's no longer walking in darkness. He's walking in light. And even though there are shadows, Even though there are difficulties, there's hope in his heart. And hope is now igniting him, and it's coming out, and he is actually being a light to his community. There's another lady who we've been walking with, and circumstances changed quite dramatically for her, and now she is in prison. And I've got permission to share this story. And she's now in prison. And that's a difficult space to be in, isn't it? You know, you would think that prison is a set of circumstances that now equates to darkness. But what she's finding is she is finding hope in her heart. And even though she's in a dark place, she's not walking in darkness, she's walking in light. And she has access to Bible study courses, and we come in and we support and encourage her. And even though she's in a difficult place, she's not walking in darkness. And that is a great hope to us all, that even though we might experience the shadows and the pangs and the pains of this life, it doesn't mean we are walking in darkness. Jesus promised it, and in Psalm 23, though we walk through the valley, the shadows of what death will offer in this life, do not fear, for I am with you. I am the light of the world, guiding you through the end of it. You don't need to stop here. You've got to keep walking. And that what we're finding is that these people keep walking. The other night I was having dinner with somebody who's in the throngs of drug addiction. And even though this addiction has a grip on him, so too does the hope and the name of Jesus. And so he's wrestling with walking in darkness, but then also walking in life, light. And we know which is the greater authority, don't we? And so he's saying, even though I'm struggling with this, there is more to my life. This doesn't have a hold on me. Why? Because Jesus is the light of the world. He is calling me to something greater. I can do more with my life. I am not the narrative of where I am now, but there is something more for me. These are stories that are real life that are happening now, but there are stories that are happening now in your family, in your life, and our job is to carry the light that has intercepted our reality and now get to share it with others. Jesus says that I am the light of the world. You no longer need to walk in darkness, but you can experience the light and the life that is found only in him. There was a time I was operations manager at a drug and alcohol rehabilitation centre down in Sydney. And so I did that for a little while. And one of my jobs was to pull off this gala event, make sure everything was set up. It was actually not inside. It was on a field in the middle of the Blue Mountains. And all we had were two spotlights. And we were going to, it was for dignitaries and for people to share their stories. It was a fundraising event, so it was a bit of a big deal. And my job was to make sure it all went smoothly and the lights kept shining. I went, yep, I can do that. So it the event starts, and we have all these dignitaries rolling up and getting them car parks, getting them to their seats, all that sort of stuff. It was going really swimmingly. And it gets to the point where there was a keynote speaker to come and share. All we have is two lights. I always thought they were on a 3-hour timer. They were on a 2-hour timer, so everything just went. And these were two massive spotlights that took half an hour to cool down and another half an hour to warm up. We were without lights for 1 hour. So being the brave, heroic man that I am, I ran. You know that fight or flight? Man, I'm a flighter all day long. Yeah. Man, I always won all my fights by 50 metres. It was going really awesome. And then all of a sudden the lights went out, darkness ascended the earth, and then it was chaos. It was frenzy. There were people like yelling, running. And meanwhile, I was running. I was looking out of my bedroom window, out of the curtain, I'm being very vulnerable here, but this is an insight into the fragility of my soul. I was just watching all these like minions and ants running around to try to fix a situation that I in fact created. And then all of these people started driving their cars around, and they started placing it on the hill so that it would be illuminated and lit up. And the event stopped for about half an hour. And anyway, it all got back up onto, and we finished it, praise God, with me in absence. Don't worry, I got held over the coals for it. It's okay. A lot of lessons learnt. But while there was light, there was order, there was purpose, there was sight. But as soon as darkness happened, frenzy, fleeing, hiding, reminds me of the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? When there was light, there was intimacy, there was union, there was beauty, there was bounty. Adam and Eve are walking with God in the garden. And then all of a sudden, sin entered into the world. And what did they do with that sin? It created chaos and confusion. And for the very first time, their first inclination was to cover and hide. It's in our human nature. Sin leads us towards darkness. It leads us to a place where we feel like we have to cover it up. So John leads us through five affirmations in this particular passage from verses 5. It says, if we have fellowship with God, we should not walk in darkness. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with each other. Why does it say when we walk in the light, we don't have fellowship with God? Because we're walking in the light. That's the very reason we walk in the light, is because we have fellowship with God. One of the great benefits of walking in the light is that we have fellowship with each other. It's just awesome to be here, and we're strangers as we walk through those doors. But while we're worshiping, we have fellowship with one another. Our spirits leap. You know, it reminds me of Elizabeth and Mary. When John the Baptist met Jesus, his spirit leapt because he was in the proximity, fellowship with someone else, you know. I loved it. I was at a set of traffic lights the other day, and I'm always skeptical of people who have loud music with their windows down. Can I just be honest? Just like, why? I don't even, you know, do you want me to now just be part of your nightclub? I don't know. Anyway, so I always don't even know if I should look at them. Just keep driving. Anyway, so I'm at a set of lights, and this guy comes in, really loud music, and parks right next to me. And it turns out it's worship music. I was just like, oh yeah, come on, I'll join your club. So I look at him and I'm just like, praise God, brother. And he's just like, yeah, praise God. I was like, what church do you go to? Blah, blah, blah. And then we started having this conversation at the set of traffic lights. Why? Because of our faith. Not because of his Broncos bumper sticker. Got to rip those off this season. But fins up. But but because we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. There is a commonality. We share the same table of the Lord, and our spirits are going, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. It's talking to this lady who has been ministering in prison. When she comes across a fellow believer, they have this instant connection, and hope ignites their very hearts, and it expands out. The Lord is always wanting us to light up with his light, to express his purpose, his passion through life and through light. This word to walk in light is a word called peripateo. It means to make one's way, to progress, to make due use of opportunities. That truth is not just something to be believed, but is something to be lived out. So when it says walk in the light, saying, make use of the opportunities you have because Jesus is light and he lives in you. We've ingested him as the communion sermon was told to us, that because we have light, we are making use of every opportunity to share his light, to make one's way towards his way. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so when we walk in the light, we're making the way our way. We're making the truth our truth. We're making his life our life. We are combining, we are walking, walk this way. Anyway, why am I in my head sometimes? I just don't know. I apologize. I have random thoughts. I say these thoughts. Thank you. We need to walk in the light as he is in the light. That's what the word says, as he is in the light. Jesus would stand at the temple with these amazing pillars of light. That was a promise that God was with them, guiding them as they were walking through the wilderness. That they didn't just go straight into the promise that they were in the wilderness, a shadow season, but God was guiding them through. Wherever the light went, the people were to follow. And Jesus stood under those pillars. Just take a 5-minute intermission. Yeah. Oh, wow. Preaching is quite humbling at times, but it's also a privilege. So Jesus would stand under these pillars and say, I am the fulfillment of that promise that I am the light of the world. I am the God who will guide you. I am God who will be with you. I am God who will light up your way. I am God who will bring you out of darkness into my glorious light. So as he is in the light, so are we to walk with him. And John is also referencing his gospel account when he introduced the gospel of John. It says, in the word was the beginning and the word was God and the word was with God. And it says, in him was life. In him was life. Not only is he light, but he's life. And he's faithful and he's just and he's true and he's good. In him was life, and that life was the light to all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it, or the darkness or the light cannot be extinguished. When we sing Jesus over everything, it's saying, Jesus, may your light shine in everything, over everything, for everything, because there is no darkness that is at all in you. So what is it to walk in darkness? We've talked about walking in light. What is it to walk in darkness? This is where we have a propensity to be bent towards our sin nature. And we can't stop from sinning. We love it. We rationalize it. We justify it. We try to refine it and define it. But this is what Charles Spurgeon says about sin. He says, he who cannot find water in the sea is not more foolish than the man who cannot perceive sin in their life. Wow. He who cannot find water in the sea is not more foolish than the man who cannot perceive sin in his life. Another preacher said, to wrap yourself up in excuses is to be naked before the great white throne. And I love this definition, not my words, but someone else's. It says, sin is the skull set amidst life's banquet. I'm in my head, guys. Lord, help me walk in light. Amen. The desert breath that drinks every dew a madness in the brain, a poison in the heart, an opiate in the will, a frenzy in the imagination. Sin, the disease of the soul, the instrument of everlasting ruin, the midnight blackness that invests man's whole moral being, subverted the constitutional order of man's nature. Sin, promising velvet and giving a shroud, promising liberty but giving slavery, promising nectar and giving gall, promising perfumed handkerchiefs and giving foul rags, promising silk and giving sackcloth. And then the last one, the ostrich, when pursued, thrusts its head in the sand and imagines because it is closed, has closed its eyes, it is safe from its predators. The only thing more humorously pitiful than this is a person who attempts to hide his sin from God. See, if we keep our sin at God's arm's length, we have a hazy view of our own, of sin in our life, and we cannot walk in the light with clarity and with confidence. So how do we overcome sin? Number one, we have to confess it. It says that in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, recognize that we can't be perfect. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. Another statement of who God is. He is faithful to his promise, to his word, to his people. And he is just. He understands the consequences of it all. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we confess our sins, God acts. And he steps in on our behalf. The word confess here is to mean the same as to say the same thing as. That's what confess is, to say the same thing as. So when we confess our sins, we are saying the same thing as God and his view of sin. That it doesn't line up to his nature. That sin is a contradiction to his word. That we are walking down a road that is not a blessing or a benefit to both God and others and ourselves. And we are saying the same thing of God when we recognize our sin. And he says, well, now that we can agree, I will step in as your advocate, the faithful and just one, and I will forgive you from your guilt, from your shame, from the darkness that has trapped you, from the lies and the narratives that you've been meditating and marinating in, I will come and help cleanse you and lead you back through that shadow into light. I will redirect you. I'll place you on that narrow road that leads to life and leads to light. And praise be to God that we have that advocate in our lives. And so when salvation comes upon us all, light enters us. The light of Christ saves us. Isaiah chapter 9 would say, for those living in a land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. With the breaking of the new sun, a light has come into your world and it's going to be with you forever. And then it says here to work out your salvation. So how is God's love, how is God's heart going to move you to be able to walk in God's light? This is to work out your salvation, work out the light that has entered into your heart. And that word work out is the same word that we can use as an analogy for a splinter. That's inside of you. So it's inside and you've got to get it outside. And sometimes it's painstaking. Sometimes it takes a while. But as you are working it out of your life, it's going to lead you towards freedom and of life. Where sin, shame, abuse, oppression, bias, hatred, racism, these things are working its way out of your life. And also the light of Christ is working its way out so that others will be blessed by you. So here we have many, many stories. And I didn't want this message just to be primary level. You know, I used to be a school teacher and taught year 8 science. There's many things why I ended up only finishing in year 8 science. I didn't have the smarts to teach secondary science because there were a lot of kids smarter than me. So I just stayed at general sciences in year 8. And we're talking about light. And there is no such thing as darkness. There's only the absence of light. And when we look at this world, we can look at it as dark. We can look at it as overwhelming. We can look at our own lives and see the pressure points, the pain, the anguish, the rejection, all these shadows. But it just means that it's just the absence of light yet to intercede into those spaces. And so when we're working with homelessness and drug addiction and domestic violence and all those things that we encounter and you encounter in your day-to-day living, we can see that the world's getting darker and it feels like it's overwhelming and shrinking. And we can feel helpless in that space. But can we encourage one another as we walk in light, as He is in the light, to turn those prayers into prayers of faith and say, Lord, that person, that situation has yet to be illuminated by your gospel yet. And that's an empowered way to then look at that. Instead of saying, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. There is no hope. I'm overwhelmed. Say, Lord, the reality is your gospel and your light is so powerful that in you there is no darkness at all. And we pray for this situation of DV. We pray for this situation of mental health. We pray for this situation of homelessness. We pray for this situation of fractured families and difficulties. And we pray that your light will come. It's the only way. We are called to be the light of the world. I love that Jesus transferred responsibility. In John, he says that I am the light of the world. And then in his other teachings, he would say that you are the light of the world. The church is the light of the world. The church needs to be a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. The church as the bride of Christ that he is making more and more beautiful, that he is coming back for one day, needs to be the light of the world, ready to shine brightly, ready to receive areas of brokenness, areas of darkness, so that the light that shines in and through it will cascade and illuminate those fringes of society that we don't, where we deem them untouchable. We have a responsibility to walk in light as He is in the light and to see community transformation taken in our generation. To not outsource it, but to take responsibility that we are the light of the world. And yes, there are difficulties. Yes, there are shadows that consume us. But we need to continue to walk towards His way, His truth, His life. And there will come about victory and testimony in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, say amen. 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 Every time we see in the Gospels, and if the keys player want to come, every time we see in the Gospels, we see Jesus always transform a heart that goes from darkness into light. My favorite one is in John chapter 8, when Jesus meets this woman caught in the act of adultery. They've held her overnight. They've placed her in this arena of anguish before everybody who are looking at her with accusation, with condemnation, and she's in a very, very dark place. And Jesus encounters her, and his role is not to condemn her, but to save her, to see her story that is wrapped in darkness, and he's going to encounter her in order for her to experience life. So as Jesus enters the picture, all you can see is darkness, horror, a trap, society at its worst, sin, from all parts, just this melting pot of brokenness. And Jesus steps into the middle to be with this woman. And then he says to the accusers, he holds up his life, his light. And they don't, that's like a candle to the sun. They can't even comprehend it. They drop those rocks of accusation one by one and they walk away. That's what the gospel does. It makes demons flee. It makes accusations not stand up. It cuts through all the dross, all the mess, all the brokenness. That's what Jesus does. And it says, while he was standing there in the middle with this woman, All the accusers leave, the public leave, everyone leaves, but Jesus doesn't leave. He says, I'm going to continue to rewrite the story for you. I'm not going to leave you here. I'm not just going to rescue out of this situation. I'm going to show you the way that leads to life. And so he says, where are all your condemners? She looks around, they're all gone. And he says, neither then do I condemn you. Go now, leave your life of sin. You've experienced what it is to walk in darkness. Now experience what it is to walk in light. And we don't know that lady's tomorrow, but I can guarantee you, in the arms and the eyes of a loving father, that her walk was different. She knew what it was to walk in light. She'd experienced light. Her steps would have been different. The course of history would have been different. The way she wakes up with purpose would have been different. The way she viewed others would have been different because she's decided to walk in light. And we have this gospel that has arrested our souls in the middle of our mess, of our brokenness, of our darkness, in the arena of anguish. Jesus met us there and he stays with us and he's saying, I'm compelling you. I'm not just in compelling you, I'm walking with you to a road that leads to life. Why can you experience darkness? Why can you experience walking in light? It's because Jesus is the light. And the way that he is the light, the revelation of light and love, is because he experienced darkness. He knows what it is. He doesn't just know what it is, he defeated it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, and he who knew no sin, perfect, the light of the world, within him no darkness at all, he who knew no sin became sin. The light became darkness so that this unrighteous man could become righteous in his eyes. He arrests our soul. He pierces the darkness and he makes a way. And he says, now, would you walk in it? And I'll be walking there with you. So let's all stand together. Lord, we've all been in that arena. Lord, we've all experienced the pain, the anguish, the sharpness of darkness. But Lord, darkness is as light to you. And so, Father, would you allow us to walk different? Allow us to know that we are filled with the light and the love of Christ. And that light needs to get out to our broken world. And so, Lord, would you use this church, use your congregation, use your beloved to be light bearers for your beautiful name, that you would entrust us with your message. But you would entrust us with your presence. That's even greater. So, Lord, we thank you for your beauty, your kindness, and the power of your light. And if you believe it, say amen. 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 Amen.
We hope this message encouraged or perhaps even challenged you in your Christian faith. Our pastors meet regularly with people to pray and support them, and we extend this invitation to you. Please let us know if we can contact you to offer support. Simply call the office or visit nexuschurch.com.au.